Okay, if we could start to find our seat and wind down in our prayers. We are in 1 Peter chapter 3, and if you remember, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is where we're going to start. Thanks, Matt. I saw your face going, chapter 3, what do we do? 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 to the 12th verse, okay? Remember, Peter's writing to the elect exiles, people who have been misplaced from their homeland in a setting where they don't have rights. And so this is what he encourages them with. And my question to you is, when was the last time you thought about how precious your faith is? When was the last time that you recognized that you have a gift, that you have faith in God, and how precious it is? Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things." Father, breathe light, life into the Word. Help us remember what you said to us today by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Your first point, a living hope conquers death through Jesus' resurrection. You have not been called to a dead hope. You have not been called to be a dead church. You have not been called to serve a God who died. You have been called to serve a God who was raised from the dead and who gives you a living hope. See, Peter wants to highlight the faith and highlight the salvation that these people have. And he says, don't give up, don't give in, don't mope around. He says, you've been born again, or you have been caused, it says, to be born again. Same words, the caused and the born again is the same Greek word. In other words, you have new hope, you are born again, you can start over. Has anybody here ever golfed? Have you ever wanted to take a shot over? You see what he's saying? He says, you've been born again. You've been given new hope. You were dead in your sin. Isn't that what the word says? It says, you were dead in your sin. But now you've been born again to a living hope. You've been giving hope when you were dead. It's a powerful thing, and Peter is reminding the exiles, saying, yeah, you're suffering for a little while right now, but look ahead to what comes next. Look at your next point. God's children have an indestructible inheritance in heaven. Verse 4, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. I'd like to buy a car like that. What does Jesus say? He says, all this stuff here on earth, it says, the moss will eat it, the rust will corrode it, thieves will steal it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your treasure on earth. But what does he say? He say, you, says, you have hope, you have an inheritance that's kept. It's in heaven for you, waiting for you right now. It's yours. And he says to the people that are in exile, and I say it to you this morning, church, because I want you to identify with this. Hey, all of you who live in a crooked and perverse world, you have a living hope kept for you in heaven, and it is indestructible. Nothing can wipe it out. Peter says, now I'm going to encourage you guys with this. Praise be to God, he says. You have this inheritance. And folks, we go through our life, we walk through life, and we get so into the things in this world and what's going on. And we forget about what is waiting for us. We take our eyes off heaven and we put our eyes here on earth, and all we can see is a tire that's flat. I wonder how many of us have been ruined by a flat tire. What do we lose our blessing over? What is it that takes us out of what God has given us and puts our mind and our eyes on the things of this world? And we get so down and we get so beat up, and before long people forget the precious gift they have of salvation and faith in Jesus Christ. Look at your next point. Faith activates God's protection now and forever. You see this? It activates God's protection. Who through faith are shielded by God's power. That is a stick of dynamite of Scripture. Who through what? Faith. Are shielded. I looked up the word shielded this morning. I thought, man, I want to make sure I know what that means. You know what it means? To be protected, just like a military army surrounds you and protects you and shields you. That's what it means. You are protected. You are shielded by faith. I want to ask you again this morning, how important is your faith? When was the last time you said, Lord, thanks for revealing yourself to me. Thank you for showing me what you've done for me. Thank you for opening my mind and my heart, see. Thank you for making this salvation available so that I could open the door and you would come in. Peter says to the exiles, come on, folks, take a look. Don't keep your eyes down here on this earth and the stuff going on. Take a look up. Take a look at the inheritance that you have. Look at how the faith is keeping you. You're in a hostile world, and yet they can't seem to get rid of you. Isn't that awesome? I see it in people's eyes. I come walking towards them, and they go, oh, no, here he comes, man. He's going to talk to me about Jesus. That's what he's going to do. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you got me another one. But look up. Faith activates. And it's not just now, it's forever. It says it's kept in heaven for you. Folks, heaven's going to be a lot longer stay than it is here on earth. And we take our eyes off it and we get everything into this earth and then we forget about what's up there. So your next point says, rejoice in your future in spite of your present situation. I wonder if anybody's ever had an identity crisis. You know, I hear about this all the time. Oh, I have no purpose. You know, why am I alive? What am I doing? You're here because God created you. You're His masterpiece. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared for you beforehand. But you got to look up and say, what's my purpose? My purpose in this life. People say, what's your purpose in life? To be with Jesus for eternity. You know what that means? That means I got to get through this life without messing it totally up. But even when I mess up, I have hope because Jesus died on the cross for me and then rose from the dead. He didn't stay in the grave, you see. And He gave me living hope. And I have an inheritance waiting for me in heaven. So we rejoice in our future in spite of where we're at right now. And if you're doing really great right now and you have no problems, thank God, because He brought you here. Put your hope in Him. See, rejoice in your future in spite of your present situation. Listen to Hebrews 11:1. It's in your outline there. Because no one can say it better than the Word of God says this. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. How many people say, well, if God would just do this, or if He would show me, or if He would do this, you see. If He would just show me. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to touch it. If you can see it, feel it, and touch it, then it's not faith. That's not faith, because you can see it, feel it, touch it, grab it, and run away with it. You see? But faith is the substance of things that I hope for. The fact that I have a place in heaven with Jesus Christ, I believe it with all my heart. I'm banking on it. And Peter says, understand how important this thing called faith is. Your belief in Christ. Don't let go of it. I wanted to do this, but I thought security would just be way too rough for today. I wanted to bring a bar of gold and set it here. And then I thought, oh, the security team would go crazy going, who's watching that thing? Did you see it? Did it move? What happened? But if I set a bar of gold here and said, what would you rather have, this or faith in Jesus Christ? I wonder what most churches would take. How many would say, give me the bar of gold and we'll build a big new, you know, facade to our building. Everybody will come in. They'll want to see what's going on. And they'd leave the most precious thing. Peter says it's more precious than gold. If you listen to the text, he said more precious than gold that's been refined in the fire. That's your faith. That's my faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've been thinking about this all morning long, trying to find an example of what you don't see. But years ago, I ran over, it was a total accident, I ran over a deer with my motorcycle. Wasn't trying to do it, just the deer jumped on the road and I hit the deer. Now, when I hit the deer and my motorcycle went down, I said, Jesus, help me. I want you to notice, I didn't say, oh, Buddha, come and save me. You see that? I didn't say, call the rescue squad. I didn't say that. I said, Jesus, help me. At 35 miles an hour, with my right elbow already skinned and my knee beginning to get skinned, something picked me up and sat me. I landed in the middle of the road on both feet, just like this, and I looked down and I went, there's nothing broke. You know what bugs me? I couldn't see what did that. Now, I got this idea it was one of those angels. But this morning, I thought maybe Jesus just reached down, grabbed me by the back of my neck and said, gotta help this guy again. Faith. See, I called on the most powerful name on the face of the earth. Church, please understand what I'm saying. You call on the most powerful name on the face of the earth, the name above all names, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And I couldn't see him. Peter says, though you don't see him, you love him and you rejoice and you are glorious because of him. And it says, but you don't see him. And I couldn't see him. And I didn't know what he was going to do. But when I called on his name, I sure am glad for what he did. And I have the proof now. See that he picked me up. Next time in a pickle, you know who I'm going to call on? Yes, I am. And folks, it just amazes me what he will do. Now, I've thought this through. There's some things the Lord has just shown me about this. And we have things messed up on this earth, okay? We don't think straight. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, you see? Now look at your next point. Genuine proven faith is a precious soul-saving substance. I love that. Genuine proven faith, meaning you had to go through something. You had to keep your faith in a difficult time. It was tested. It was tried. They turned up the fire. The dross melted away, and it's pure gold. That's your faith, you see. And it was the real deal, because after the whole episode and the mess and everything you've gone through, you still believe in Jesus Christ and the inheritance he has for you. Amen. Now here's where I think we're messed up. Look at Jesus' closest three disciples, okay? Who were they? The sons of thunder, right? James and John and Peter. When he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he took Peter, James, and John with him. When Jesus went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, he brought Peter, James, and John with him. He said, can't you guys stay awake for 1 hour and pray with me? Now, if you follow this story, look what happens. You know who got martyred right away after the resurrection from the dead? It says that they took James's head off, the brother of John. Now here's my question for you, trying to prove to you how we can get things messed up. How do you view that? Do you go, poor James? Man, Peter and John got to live, right? But who really won in that deal? Who got his inheritance first? Come on, church. Yes. But how do we think, you see? I mean, I remember reading that going, oh, man. And you know what else I thought is how the devil used that with John and how John felt. Because you know what happened right after that? Look at how the devil works. Right after that, they took Peter into jail because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews to kill James. And so he arrested Peter, and he was going to take his head off. And then an angel of the Lord came in, put all the guards to sleep, opened up the door, took Peter out. And I wonder if John didn't say, Lord, why don't you do that for my brother? See how the enemy works? But you see how precious, real, genuine, proven faith is? Because John didn't slow down a bit. I think he preached the gospel with more fervor than ever after that. Is everybody listening? You see, I can't lose if I have faith. Now, I have to confess to you, I've asked God to let me see my grandkids grow up. I want to be the old grandpa. I don't know if I'll be drooling in the corner. But the cool thing about grandparents is we can say whatever we want. You know it? The older we get, you can just say what's on your mind. And I just said, Lord, I want to be there at their weddings. I want to see them. But you know what? If he doesn't grant that, if he takes me today, I'm okay. I get my inheritance right away. How precious is our faith, church? It is a precious soul-saving substance. How many days do we just wake up and take it for granted and don't even think about it and get our eyes on the things of this world and we forget what an awesome gift God has? He goes on and he says, concerning this salvation, folks, the study of salvation, soteriology, is just amazing. I absolutely love it. I will never grow tired of trying to figure out how God does this. And it's so powerful. But he says, hey, the prophets who spoke about this, they searched intently. Do you see what it says? And with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances that the Spirit of God was pointing to and how this was going to happen and what was going to go on. And here's your point. God dispersed human and supernatural evangelists to proclaim salvation to us. Think about Isaiah. Isaiah 53. It's actually in 52 also, the suffering servant. Didn't recognize him. People hid their face from him. He bore our transgressions. You see that? There was nothing that would attract us to him in this world. And I can picture Isaiah going, when's this going to happen, Lord? How's it going to happen? What? Come on, fill me in here. And it says even the angels long to look into it. Remember the greatest birth announcement on the face of the earth when they said, to you today, born in Bethlehem, there's a Savior. And then the theologians will come and talk to me after the service about this one, but this is what I thought of as I was thinking about this and how they looked into the salvation and soteriology and how does God do all this. And you know what occurred to me, and I could be wrong about this, maybe I'll meet these guys in heaven, I don't know, but it came to my mind that Calvin wasn't trying to create Calvinism. Listen to me. The Arminians weren't trying to create Arminianism. The new Calvinists aren't trying to create new Calvinism. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to understand this amazing salvation that we have. And they're digging into Scripture. And they're going here and they're trying to understand this. And they're writing this down, you see. And you know what happens? The devil takes it and he brings it to the church and he goes, why don't you guys argue about this? Right? He says, come on, you guys. Have a debate. And you know what it does? It gets our mind off of the awesome salvation, the fact that we are saved by grace through faith, and that when I die, I have an inheritance kept for me in heaven. And we get into arguments and we worry about all this stuff. Oh, it goes on and on. How about baptism? What do? Do you sprinkle them? Do you dunk them? Ooh, there's a bigger one coming. How about the Holy Spirit?
What do you believe about the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
I believe they're real and I want all of them I can get. Amen. See that? No. I want to argue about it. No, I don't want to argue. I just want all I can get. I exhort you this morning, take all you can get. Whatever God has for you, say, Lord, fill me up. I'm going to open my heart to you. I want to be an obedient servant. Fill me up. Don't let me get messed up. That's what I always say. I tell the elders, keep your eye on me. But let's quit arguing and let's praise God for the salvation we have and the fact that we have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and that He's poured out His Holy Spirit. Look at your next point. Recognize and enjoy your future that is not yet realized. This is the already but not yet thing, see? I am already a Christian. Do you know that? I am saved by grace through faith. I have an inheritance waiting for me in heaven. But I can't grab it yet. I just can't wait to taste the food at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, that's going to be one banquet, isn't it? That is going to be one wedding celebration. And I can't wait to get into it. But I can't have it yet. But I'm looking forward to it. Recognize and enjoy your future that is not yet realized.
Christian, I see everything has gone wrong in your life today.
It is, but I'm so happy I can't stand it. Why? What's wrong with you? Why are you like this? Because I have an inheritance in heaven. See, isn't that what Peter's saying? He's saying, come on, you guys, get your eyes up. See where you're going. See what's going to happen. Back up with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And this is what he says. He says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There's that awesome message. When you believed, you see that? There's your faith. It doesn't say when you were skeptical. It doesn't say when you were testing these things and you said, I want to see God. That's not what it says. It says, when you believed, you were what? Marked in Him. Whew. It's easy for us bald guys. You were marked. With what? A seal, the promised Holy Spirit. There it is. You see, and the enemy comes and goes, let's get the church to argue about the Holy Spirit. Don't argue about Him. Welcome Him. The Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Anybody ever buy something and put a deposit down? Why'd you put a deposit down? Because they want you to make sure and come and get it and pay for the rest, right? What'd God do? He put a deposit on you. Has God claimed you? Has He put a deposit down on you? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you know in your knower that you're going to go to heaven? That's the Holy Spirit in there going, hey, Adams, you're saved. When I hit the depths of despair, He says, open up your eyes, look up to heaven. You're saved. I'm here. I love you. But Lord, I messed up today. But you're forgiven. Oh. Why? Because He rose from the dead. He's not a dead God. He's a living God. And He picked me up. I love the story an old Pentecostal preacher always told. He said his mom cooked in a wood-burning stove, and so she'd get that thing all lit up and try to get it to the right temperature, and she had her everything set to bake a cake, you see, and she had the batter there, and then she would take like a little cupcake tin, and she would dump a little batter in, and she would put it in for a period of time to test it. And then he said him and his brothers would all be really good that day because when she'd take that little tin out, the guy that was the best that day, she would go, here, now taste it and see if the temperature was right and if the batter was right. And he said, oh, we'd be so happy. And then he said, you'd get a little taste of that. And then he said, the thing we knew when we saw all that batter there, there was a lot more coming. God says, I put a down payment on you. I gave you the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But that's not the end. The cake is coming. It's at the banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you're going to eat all you want and you won't get fat. Or if you do get fat, they won't care. Taste and see, church. How precious is your faith? We should wake up every morning and go, God, thank you for saving me, for not leaving me out there in the cold, not knowing you, hopeless, with no future, but instead I have an inheritance that's indestructible. The thieves can't steal it. The moths can't eat it. Rust won't get to it. I love it. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Isn't that what Peter's saying? He's saying to the exiles, don't lose heart. They're against you. Church, don't lose heart. The world seems like it's against you, but you win. You're victorious. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Folks, let's get a vision today for what's ours in heaven eternally. What's your goal in life? To be with Jesus forever. See, it makes what happens between now and then pretty insignificant, doesn't it? It's like, wow. Father, come today, take your word. Lord, I pray that we won't forget your word and we won't forget how precious our faith is and how awesome salvation is. And that, Lord, we have an inheritance. Lord, we have an inheritance that can't be taken away. It'll never fade. It will never fail. And so, Father, if there's one in here today that doesn't know that they have that inheritance, if there's one in here today that doubts where they'll be when they take their last breath here, do not allow them to leave today without speaking to someone here that knows you, Lord Jesus, so that we can lead them to you. It says in your word, Lord, if we confess you before men, you will confess us before our Father in heaven. So, Lord, I pray again for each soul here, for all the souls listening online this morning, that, Lord, there will be salvation in your house today. It is a glorious thing. And, Father, take us out of this place and let us be your ambassadors, Lord. Let us minister. Father God, I pray for the Walworth County Fair this week that souls are saved, that seeds are sown, and that, Lord, walking sticks will walk people straight into your kingdom and into heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here. We want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. Go in peace to love and serve our God.